This is the Complete Short Stories, written by D.H. Lawrence, and read for you by Paul Metcalf. A Prelude. In the kitchen of a small farm, a little woman sat cutting bread and butter. The glow of the clear, ruddy fire was on her shining cheek and white apron, but grey hair will not take the warm caress of firelight. She skilfully spread the softened butter, and cut off great slices from the floury loaf in her lap. Already two plates were piled, but she continued to cut. Outside, the naked ropes of the creeper tapped and lashed at the window. The grey-haired mother looked up, and setting the butter on the hearth, rose and went back to look out. The sky was heavy and grey, and she saw it in the narrow band over the near black wood. So she turned and went to look through the tiny window, which opened from the deep recess on the opposite side of the room. The northern sky was blacker than ever. She turned away with a little sigh, and took a duster from the red shining warming pan to take the bread from the oven. Afterwards, she laid the table for five. There was a rumbling and a whirring in the corner, and the clock struck five. Like clocks in many farmers' kitchens, it was more than half an hour fast. The little woman hurried about, bringing milk and other things from the dairy, lifting the potatoes from the fire, peeping through the window anxiously. Very often her neck ached with watching the gate for a sign of approach. There was a click of the yard gate. She ran to the window but turned away again, and catching up the blue enameled teapot, dropped into it a handful of tea from the caddy and poured on the water. A clinking scrape of iron-shod boots sounded outside, then the door opened with a burst, as a burly, bearded man entered. He drooped at the shoulders, and leaned forward as a man who's worked heavily all his life. "Hello, mother," he said, loudly and cheerfully. "I'm a first. Aren't any of the lads down yet? Fred'll be here in a minute. I wish they would come," said his wife, "or else it'll rain before they're here." "Aye," he assented. "It's beginning, and it's cold rain and all, bit of sleet, I think." And he sat down heavily in his armchair, looking at his wife as she knelt and turned the bread, and took a large jar of stewed apples from the oven. "Well, mother," he said, with a pleasant, comfortable little smile, "here's another Christmas for you and me. They keep passing us by." "Aye," she answered, the effects of her afternoon's brooding now appearing. "They come and go, but they never find us any better off."
"It seems so," he said,
a shade of regret appearing momentarily over his cheerfulness.
"This year we've certainly had some very bad luck, but we keep straight. We never regret that Christmas. See, it's 27 years since. 27 years.
"No, perhaps not. But there's Fred as hasn't had above £3 for the whole year's work. And the other two at Pitt.
Well, what can I do? I hadn't lost biggest part of the hay and them two beasts.
If, besides, what prospects has he? He's working year in, year out for you and getting nothing at end of it. When you were his age, when you were 25, you were married and had two children. How can he ask anybody to marry him?"
"I don't know that he wants to. He's fairly contented. Don't be worrying about him and upsetting him. He'd only go and leave us if he got married. Besides, we may have a good year next year. We can make this up."
"Aye, so you say."
"Don't fret yourself tonight, lass. It's true, things haven't gone as we'd hoped they would. I never thought to see you doing all the work you have to do, but we've been very comfortable, all things considered, haven't we? I never thought to see my first lad a farm labourer at 25, and the other two in Pitt, two of my sons in Pitt.
I'm sure I've done what I could, and..."
But they heard a scraping outside, and he said no more. The eldest son tramped in, his great boots and his leggings all covered with mud. He took off his wet overcoat and stood on the hearthrug, his hands spread out behind him, in the warmth of the fire. Looking smilingly at his mother, as she moved about the kitchen, he said,
"You do look warm and cosy, mother. When I were coming up with last load, I thought you were trotting about in that big white apron, getting tea ready, watching weather. There are the lads. Aren't you quite contented now, perfectly happy?"
She laughed an odd little laugh and poured out the tea. The boys came in from the pit, wet and dirty, with clean streaks down their faces where the rain had trickled. They changed their clothes and sat at the table. The elder was a big, heavy-looking...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?